This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is supported by Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Now your host, Rick Moore.
And thank you, everyone, for being with us today here on WNRN. So nice to have you tuned in again. We got one of those great community shows coming up. This is one of the things that makes Charlottesville special, the upcoming Virginia Film Festival. And one of the things that makes it special is because we have great guests in the studio to go with it. We have Jody Kielbasa. Jody is the director of the film festival. You know, we have all this new equipment. So, Jody, give us a nice 30-second introduction to yourself so I can check all the volumes with this.
Okay. This is my fifth year here in Charlottesville as director of the Virginia Film Festival, and we're excited once again, returning with our 26th annual Virginia Film Festival on the heels of last year's 25th anniversary, which broke all box office and attendance records. It was a great year for us, and we're looking forward to an even better and bigger year this year.
Thank you so much. Also in the studio, guest number two, not guest B, just guest two, because it's a really cool different aspect of the film. We have Wes Harris. He's the programmer and operations manager. Wes, a little update on yourself and your job in the film festival.
Sure. Yeah. So like you mentioned, with my work as programmer, Jody and I work together to essentially curate the program of the film festival, seeking out guests and films and opportunities to bring together panel discussions, involve organizations throughout the community, all centered around the opportunities presented by the films in the program. This will be my seventh Virginia Film Festival this year.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I don't know, can I say the highlight guest of the show when you have the director and the operator programs and operator here in the studio?
So, yeah.
That's right. We also have a longtime friend of mine and WNRN, Sean McCord, is with us today. He's quite the movie aficionado, so I try and always invite him back, include him. He will be pretty much a guest host throughout the hour. You'll hear most of the questions from Sean, also the official podcaster of the Virginia Film Festival. Is that right, Sean?
That's the title I have taken for myself, yes.
Well, I'll look. Maybe I should have gotten you one of those stickers like you see at the trade shows, and you could write that in yourself, since Jody and Wes haven't given you that official title yet. We'll work on that throughout the hour.
All right,
so we are going to be talking about the upcoming Virginia Film Festival. Sean McCord here doing most of the interviewing of Jody Kielbasa and Wes Harris. Sean, jump in.
Okay. Well, first of all, thank you, Jody, for coming back. Not only is this your fifth year as director of the film festival, but it's your fifth time coming here on the show and talking about
it. Well, that's true. And right out of the gate, I want to suspend any controversy. You are indeed the official podcaster of the Virginia Film Festival.
There are many imitators.
That's right. All those many, many ones.
Rest assured, we're good.
One McCord.
Okay. All right. So, as you said, at the 26th annual film festival, and your fifth time on board. And before we jump into the festival this year, as we discussed, I want to take a little time at the top of the show to talk about the new title that you bring with you this year, and that is, and since the last time you were here, you are also now Vice Provost for the Arts at UVA.
Well, that's right. That appointment happened in January, and so for the last 9 or 10 months, I've been also serving as Vice Provost for the Arts at the University of Virginia. And in a nutshell, my role is to represent all of the arts at UVA and to support the incredible work that faculty and students are doing there, and our artists as well. And it's a really exciting period for me. I've had a great time doing it. Probably a little bit of my impact, came to light recently with the general public when I helped bring Tina Fey in to launch the President's Speaker Series for the Arts. Each year we're going to hope to bring in somebody that is representative of the arts and has made a significant impact on the arts nationally or internationally to speak at UVA and to throw a spotlight on the arts. And, of course, this is President Sullivan's Speaker Series, so I was proud to be a part of that. And and it was a fun evening. I think we had well over 5,000 people in the amphitheater to hear her speak, and she was sensational.
It was a great evening. I was there, and she was just terrific. So this position, Vice Provost for the Arts, is not a new position, but new to you, and I think probably the first kind of high-profile appointment for this, because you were also in the public eye, and happened as the director of the film festival. So just when you, tell us a little bit before we start discussing the festival itself, how you sort of merge that with your new responsibilities, as Vice Provost. And how it, what you bring into it, as a director of the film festival, but also your interest in the other arts.
Well, I mean, certainly the film festival is a very high profile, arts event that is produced every year, for the community by the University of Virginia. But there are others as well. Obviously the university has the Charlottesville University Symphony Orchestra. Mm-hmm. There's all the music events. There's the, both museums, both the Fralin, Museum of Art and the Kluge Rue Museum of Art. There's everything that's going on at Ruffin Gallery. There's our incredible, last night I was seeing a wonderful sold out production of Crazy for You, in the Culber Theater, put on by the drama department in UVA. And of course we have the incredible Heritage Theater, which has been, I should know this, but I don't know how many seasons. I know it's many more than we've had, actually, with the Virginia Film Festival, so it's had a long history here, both at UVA and in Charlottesville. So we have a tremendous impact, both on the community of Charlottesville and beyond in mid-central Virginia and the Commonwealth itself, and something that I hope to be able to reinforce moving on. You asked about how this all works out. It's certainly a learning curve for me this year. I'm approaching my very first Virginia Film Festival, holding these two roles. And one thing that you talked about, Wes's role as a programmer, but I'm very pleased to announce that Wes has joined us full time year round as Virginia Film Festival programmer. So although he and I have been working very closely the previous four film festivals on programming, his responsibilities have also increased dramatically this year as my role has increased outside the film festival proper. So we're wrapping our brain around this and getting to know how it all works out.
Well, congratulations to you, and I think our community has been very well served by your talent and your creativity.
Thank you.
Wes, let's turn to you for a second.
Sure.
For people who are tuning in saying, Wes, who is the what now? What is the programmer and operations manager?
Well, the programming part of it, it's sort of tantamount to that of curator. It's just mm-hmm. simply sort of the term that's used in the industry, as it were. But that's essentially keeping open eyes and open ears year-round, actively seeking out films that might have played here in Berlin or over at Carla Viveri or up in New York State at some point in the spring or throughout the calendar year.
At other film festivals.
Yeah, or just something that a filmmaker is traveling around with, something that a distributor I know and have worked with for years and years has picked up that piques my interest or allows us to sort of frame a different sort of sidebar of programming around that. It's eyes and ears open. It's sleuthing out opportunities to bring something fantastic to Charlottesville that otherwise probably never would.
So if I'm a filmmaker and I have a film,
mm-hmm.
I want to talk to you.
Sure.
Okay,
after the show, easy. We've also got the call for entries, which is mm-hmm. our completely open sort of opportunity for filmmakers around the world to submit their work for consideration. We're able to waive that entry fee for Virginia-based filmmakers and Virginia students, but we field a wide pool of entries, a certain percentage of which find their way into the program.
So, speaking of the program,
yeah.
we're all holding our copies here. These were distributed in
the Seville.
Seville, not Seville Weekly.
There you go.
They're all over town.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can pick them up, and if you open up to the centerfold, where normally there's a picture of a pretty girl, we have an actual table of all the films that are showing during the festival.
Mm-hmm.
How many films are there, Wes?
Well, including shorts, there's going to be just over 100.
And every single one of these you've seen.
there's a small sliver that we take on good faith when old Mr. Weinstein comes knocking at the doors, or the head of Sony Pictures says, you want to show this or that, we'll kind of take it on faith that it'll be exciting to share with our audiences here.
Right, but it's on good faith because it comes highly recommended from several of our advisory board members mm-hmm. who are out there and in a position to see these films in advance when the studios are inclined not to allow us to see them. In past years, some of these films have included The Artist, The Descendants, Black Swan. So there are films that are highly acclaimed, have received incredible write-ups around the world, and then our board members have seen them.
This is WNRN. I'm Rick Moore, Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, here with Jody Kobasa and Wes Harris from the Virginia Film Festival. Our substitute guest today, movie aficionado, and I guess recently officially appointed Virginia Film Festival podcaster. Sean McCord does a lot of interviews at the every year, or certainly last year was fascinating to go on to Seville Podcast, see all the work that Sean had done, more personal interviews with participants. Sean doing a lot of the interviewing today with the Film Festival.
Thank you. Those podcasts will be posted on virginiafilmfestival.com and also on sevillepodcast.com. So let's get into the schedule. And I want to start with, Wes, since we were talking about programming, how you select films, let's not move into the new films right away. I want to talk a little bit about the classic films mm-hmm. and how you choose those. You know, the 50th anniversary screenings, for example, that we're doing this year. Can you mm-hmm. talk a little bit about that works, how that works, and then the actual films that we're showing?
Sure. Yeah, a strong percentage of them is a result of our partnership with the Library of Congress mm-hmm. and their Packard campus located just a jump up the road in Culpeper. So we have a handful of films that are celebrating the National Film Registry that the Library of Congress runs, which is celebrates films that are deemed culturally significant. So that's one way that we'll bring in classic films sort of as the framing device of that National Film Registry. Other reasons might be an anniversary or a newly struck print or an anniversary or of a birth or a guest. So this year, a few of the highest profile examples thereof are we're having a 50th anniversary screening of The Birds, Hitchcock's The Birds, and bringing in Tippi Hedren for a conversation around that film. So that's probably our highest profile classic screening this year.
And there's a lot of reason to be able to do that as well, too, because obviously last year there were two high-profile films that were out about Hitchcock mm-hmm. and that spent a great deal of time on this relationship, this new relationship, this unique relationship between Hitchcock and Tippi Hedren as well. And it's ironic in a sense that he launched her career and in many respects could be claimed that he was responsible for destroying her career as well.
Yeah. Yeah. The films you're referring to were The Girl on HBO and then Hitchcock, which was on mm-hmm. Wide release.
Real quick, why do you say that he destroyed her career? I mean, you toss that out there and not everybody's aware of the backstory that goes with that, Jody.
Well, you know, I don't want to give all that backstory away because I have Tippi Hedren live on hand at the Paramount Theater to be able to talk about that, and that's part of one of the gifts that I think that the Virginia Film Festival brings is to be able to have these people come in and tell their own stories, as we did last year with Woodward and Bernstein.
So you'll come back after the film festival and tell folks who couldn't get a ticket exactly what that backstory is.
Well, I think I want everybody to come down there.
That's
There's
right.
still a few tickets left, not many.
Okay. Anything more on the National Film Registry?
Well, yeah, and even beyond the film registry on the classic film front, one that I'm excited about is Le Jolie Mai, which we're showing on the Friday afternoon of the festival in the Paramount Theater.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 50th anniversary screening of a film by Chris Marker and Pierre Lhomme. People might know Chris Marker as the guy who directed the weird short La Jetée that 12 Monkeys was based on. Is sort of, unfortunately, maybe the simplest way to kind of... But more broadly, he's a tremendous experimental film sort of essayist. And this is a film that they made in the first springtime of peace in mm-hmm. Paris in
right.
the early 60s.
Right.
Premiered at Cannes 50 years ago, has been seen hardly at all in the United States for that last half century. It showed at Cannes again earlier this year in a new digital restoration, and we're bringing that and showing it at the Paramount on the Friday of the festival.
Excellent, excellent. So let's talk, for people who, you know, every year I find people who say, oh, yeah, the film festival. I've heard about that. That goes on downtown, right? So for people who are new to the festival who don't, or may have gone but don't fully understand the scope of it, what's the difference between going to the film festival and, you know, one Friday night going down to the Regal and catching a new release?
Sure. It's that third heat. So to think back to like the early episodes of 30 Rock, right, where you've got that sort of trivection oven where you sort of got these three heats coming at you. We've got screenings, we've got guests, and we've got conversations.
Right.
Right. It's that third sort of X factor element that comes in that makes it something more than simply sitting in a room and looking at a screen. It's that shared communal experience that has become a little less routine now since we do have so much more available to us at home and on our portable devices. Now we have opportunities to underscore the value of sharing space together with a bunch of strangers for a given period of time and being able to speak with the subjects or the people who made the things as well. It's not done that much.
Beyond that, there's also the opportunity to see many of these films well before they will actually go into wide release. Mm-hmm. Films like Mandela and August Osage County and Philomena, for which there's a tremendous amount of interest in and anticipation seeing these films. And then also films that you might never have the opportunity to see in a theater because they're unlikely to make their way to Charlottesville, whether they're documentaries or incredible foreign films. And then, as Wes mentioned, the panelists and the discussion that we have around these films with experts from UVA and from our own community in Charlottesville and from outside is extraordinary. The level of discourse is really great and engaging and unique to this festival.
This is WNRN. I'm Rick Moore. Our guests today, Jody Gilbasa and Wes Harris. Conversation being organized by movie aficionado Sean McCord here today.
WNRN thanks the following for their support of independent music radio.
Arts Council of the Valley's Court Square Theater presenting Tim O'Brien and Daryl Scott on Saturday, November 23rd in Harrisonburg. Tickets to see two legendary songwriters, Tim O'Brien and Daryl Scott, and upcoming shows like The Steel Wheels at Court Square Theater can be purchased at valleyarts.org. All shows begin at 8.
T&N Printing, serving Virginia since 1982. In addition to printing and copying, T&N specializes in construction document management, as well as dry mounting, binding, and mail services. T&N offers FSC-certified printing, an internationally recognized standard for production and consumption of forest products. T&N Printing can be reached at 434-971-8976 and t-nprinting.com.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the Markets of Tiger Fuel. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And thank you for being with us today as we talk about the upcoming Virginia Film Festival, 91.9 here on WNRN and Crozet and the Valley's 101.1. Jody Gilbasa, Wes Harris. And our specialty guest host, Sean McCord.
Thank you, Rick. Before the break, Jody, you were talking about what the festival offers is not just an opportunity to see screenings of new films that you might not otherwise have a chance to see on the big screen in Charlottesville, but discussions afterwards and special guests from the industry or filmmakers, people involved in the films. You already mentioned Tippi Hedren coming in for the 50th anniversary screening of The Birds. We have quite a few guests coming in this year. One of the other names that people may recognize, faces that they may recognize, is Will Forte.
Well, that's true. I mean, obviously best known for his work on Saturday Night Live and mm-hmm. and his work in the film MacGruber.
MacGruber!
But, you know, what I particularly love, having an acting background myself years ago, is when an actor who is largely known or completely known in Will's case for their comic work mm-hmm. suddenly makes a transition in their career and takes on a dramatic role and is successful. And I would like to think that Will is wildly successful in his first dramatic role. It's a wonderful film, and although it was Bruce Dern who actually won the Best Actor prize at the Cannes Film Festival for
And the name of that film when it's screening?
Is Nebraska, thank you. Yeah, Nebraska. And it's also our opening night film.
Right.
And as you mentioned, Will Forte will be in attendance for a question and answer afterwards with producer Ron Yerxa, who's a longtime Virginia Film Festival Advisory Board member and probably best known for producing Election and Cold Mountain and so many other films as well. So they'll both be on hand for a Q&A. But Will just turns in a remarkable performance in this dramatic performance.
I think what you started to say, that even though Dern gets top billing and it's his grizzly-haired face on the poster and that he won the prize at Cannes, that it really is Will Forte's vehicle. He really is the star of the film, and it turns in the most, as Jody said, unexpectedly brilliant performance. And so we are bringing in the star.
So we've seen him Saturday Night Live. We saw on the MacGruber skits, and we're showing MacGruber the film.
Yeah. We are as well on Friday. I mean, how could you not? We've got him here. And you know, the great thing is that Will plans to hit the ground running when he comes here to Charlottesville. He's really looking forward to that Q&A. He's going to be working with some UVA drama students and some improv classes as well while he's on the grounds. He fully plans to participate. He's only here for 2 days, but the 2 days he's here at the festival, he's going in full bore on it, which is great.
That's terrific. We'll talk about some of the other guests too. Name that I know, and then some people may need some introduction to, is Alan Berliner. Wes, you want to talk about Alan Berliner?
Another really sort of prominent in his sphere as an experimental documentarian. We're bringing him in for a screening of First Cousin Once Removed, and we're going to be partnering with the Virginia Center for the Creative Arts as well as the local chapter of the Alzheimer's organization to frame a lengthy panel conversation with Berliner after the screening of that film. It's one of those perhaps under the radar events as you scan across the program of the festival, but then once it catches your eye, you kind of realize how big of a deal this guy, this screening, this film, and the conversation that we will host really is.
And let's look at some of the accomplishments that Alan Berliner has. He's a 3-time Emmy Award winner. He's the recipient of a Rockefeller, Guggenheim, and Jerome Foundation fellowships, and he was also a fellow at the Virginia Center for Creative Arts as well. So again, this is a perfect example of people that we bring in that are expert and engage in a conversation with our audiences here in Charlottesville wrapped around their film, which is outstanding.
Our guests, Jody Kielbasa and Wes Harris, the director and the programmer operations manager at the Virginia Film Festival, Sean McCord, also with me here today. Jody and Wes, you're talking about all these wonderful films and the guests that are coming. And Wes, I don't know which one of you is best suited to answer this. How do you prevent from sort of piling on so that everybody wants to go to Saturday, but Saturday at 7 and 9 and 10 o'clock, those are, you know, that's when me, as the general citizen from the community, that's the stuff that I want to see, and now I have to choose.
Yeah. You just own the fact that you are piling it on. There's, for a 4-day festival, we're not able to have repeat screenings of most everything, so there are always going to be a lot of decisions to be made. We do the best we can to sort of stagger or checkerboard the programs so that films that may be of particular interest to a certain audience, a certain group, might not completely conflict with each other within the program, sort of staggering films that in a way that give people an opportunity to sort of craft their own program through those 4 days, skipping from perhaps the Paramount to the Regal to the grounds of the university at Colberth or Newcomb in a way that is still full of tough decisions, but hopefully a way that they can still experience as much as they possibly can and hope to see during the 4 days.
It's funny you say that, but I do get stopped by people in the community during the film festival that says, I so badly wanted to see that film, but it was at Regal, but I was seeing this great film over there, and then later on I'm seeing that great film, and I go, that's wonderful. That's really exciting. I mean, to begin with, we had 41 sellouts last year. My first year here, we had 3. So we're obviously trending in the right direction, but I love the tough choices type of thing because it really draws attention to the festival. Mm-hmm. It engages people. And at the end of the day, I'd much rather hear there were far too many choices that were so compelling that people wanted to attend than, I looked at the program and just nothing spoke to me.
This is WNRN Sunday morning wake-up call, talking with Jody Kilbasa and Wes Harris for the upcoming Virginia Film Festival. Sean McCord, the guest host today.
All right, let's actually jump into some more of the films themselves. If you were walking down the street, Wes, and someone bumped into you and said, "Oh yeah, you're that film guy. I heard you on the radio. What should I go see?"
It would depend which street I was walking down.
Main Street. You're on the downtown
right,
mall.
That'll work. I spend a lot of time there. But yeah, I love to point out the things that are sort of lurking in the corners that might not be as obvious. Like I talked about Le Jolimet, and then you brought up Alan Berliner earlier. Those are sort of the higher profile, sort of shadowy things that aren't the big tentpole films. So I like to dive deep and really push people towards some things that I think are really exciting that they might just sort of need a little light shown on. Things that I love that probably will not come here otherwise. We have a documentary about Harry Dean Stanton, the legendary character actor. I would say, arguably, the greatest actor of all time. No more discussion on that point because I'm right. Beyond that, I mean, just weird little stuff like Manakamana, which is a sort of very sparse contemplative documentary about a bunch of people riding up a ski lift to make a pilgrimage to a temple, to a Buddhist temple. And it's by the same people who did the documentaries Sweetgrass and Leviathan, two very sort of challenging art documentaries that we've shown over the last few years that did quite well, because that's what our audience wants. They want those challenging opportunities to see the crazy stuff that will never otherwise come here. Those are two fun sort of small examples. Something sort of in the middle ground that is sort of bringing it back to the local tie is the Gay Werewolf Road movie, buddy comedy.
Another Gay Werewolf Road movie?
It's been that old chestnut. It's been done before. It's never been done this well. We're looking at Faux Paws. Faux Paws. No, it's P-A-W-S now. So that's what we're looking at. But that's the filmmaker Doug Barry and
filmmaker Doug Barry.
Correct. Acting alongside Charlottesville actor Brian Weimer.
Mm-hmm.
We've shown a number of documentaries that Doug and his wife Judy have made over the last few years. This is the sort of largest project, and I believe the first narrative feature that the two have done. And it's just a whole lot of fun. It's if the tagline doesn't sum it up, I don't know what could better, but that is Werewolven Ain't What It Used to Be.
And this is screening as a works in progress?
Yes. So if Sundance is listening right now, it does not preclude you from programming Doug's film in the 2014 festival, so good to go on that front.
Oh, they're listening.
Yeah.
So, Jody, same conversation. What are some of the tentpoles that...
Some of the temples, I mean, I think are fairly obvious if you drill down into the program. You see things like August Osage County, which, of course, won a Pulitzer Prize and a Tony Award back when it was a play several years ago in 2008.
And the play, which many people may have seen the play at Live Arts earlier this year, right?
Yes. And, it's going to come out in mid to late December, so it's an opportunity to see it in advance. Meryl Streep, Julia Roberts, an incredible sort of all-star cast. Mandela, which is another opportunity to see a film that's going to be considered for, heavily in the award season coming up for the Academy Awards and Golden Globes, is going to be at the festival this year. One perhaps less obvious, but we have deemed it to be our centerpiece film this year is Claw.
Yes.
It celebrates the collective of lady arm wrestlers here in Charlottesville. And if some of the listening audience is not familiar with them, this started out several years back, kind of a vaudeville burlesque athletic compilation that is done usually right now in a tent outside Blue Moon, but it's these women who essentially arm wrestle for charity. They select charitable causes, they donate the money that's from the evening, but they take on very wild and wacky characters, and it's great fun. And Brian Weimer had done a short documentary about this that was in the festival a couple years ago, and this is different but more fully fleshed out, getting sort of behind the reasons why these women do it. And, you know, Wes and I had quite a dialogue about this film, as to whether we should put it in the centerpiece slot or not. And, Wes, you want to talk about that a little bit? Because I think we both agree this film has a future outside of Charlottesville.
Yeah, absolutely right. I mean, it sort of called to mind some films from the past, like the Parking Lot movie, say, which seems upon first glance like it would be primarily only of local interest, and then has gone on to really impressive, large audiences, respect and acclaim. Claw is something very similar, if not even just because of the fact that the program has spread to other cities all across the country and into South America, but because it's a very well done film. It's a unique subject matter. It's incredibly unique, beautiful, amazing characters, people participating in an organization that has nothing but good at its heart. I mean, it's having fun toward an end. That's always kind of something that misses, that I can miss in something. It's toward what end? There's a very clear end in the Claw organization. Every month, a different charity is, or well, back when it was monthly, but now every time there is about an event, every time a different charity is the beneficiary thereof, we're going to have a large group of participants there at the screening. We're going to have the directors there for a conversation, and they will be kept very much in check if they start to run over, because we will have one of the women there in character moderating that Q&A and keeping Brian Weimer and Billy Hunt on their toes. So it should be a lot of fun.
And that's Saturday night, 9 o'clock at the Paramount.
Correct.
Yes. Right. While we're talking about local films and local filmmakers, do you want to talk about Matt Jones?
Right, A Single Shot. Matt Jones is lives in Charlottesville, a novelist, and he wrote a novel which he adapted into a screenplay called A Single Shot. Stars Sam Rockwell. I think it's just a wonderful film. It's a thriller about a man who ends up getting in way over his head. And it just sort of snowballs from there. And I love the film. Matt Jones is going to be there. And the director, also David Rosenthal, will be on hand as well. And so, you know, I think that this is a film that's already beginning to find an audience. It's not sold out yet, but I believe it will be by the night that it plays on Saturday evening.
Also Saturday night at 9 o'clock in the Newcomb Hall Theater.
More choices.
Piling on.
excuse me. Remote Area Medical is a local film about a local program that many of us here have heard about.
Well, it's actually not a local film. Which is sort of exciting. It's one of a couple films actually in the program that has at least Virginia ties in terms of the subject, but was made by a group of filmmakers who are currently splitting their time. They're primarily based out of New York. Also work out of D.C., that I met earlier in the year at another couple of festivals. And the documentary Remote Area Medical focuses on the RAM, as they call it, the acronym, program in Bristol, Tennessee, which is on the border with Virginia, at the Speedway there, where essentially doctors come in bringing in tractor trailers that are doctor's offices, more or less, bringing in their own equipment, setting up for 3 days. People camp out 4 days for the chance for free health care. For a lot of these people, it's the first time they've ever had their teeth cleaned, had a proper eye exam, had their ailments treated that they've simply been living with for years, if not decades. It's a difficult film at times. It does lay bare the problems and the struggles and the imperfection of their experience with the program, but it's really tremendous. And we're going to be bringing in the directors, Jeff Reichert and Faria. So it should be a really unique and impactful conversation. A lot of doctors and individuals at the UVA Health System have participated in the RAM project in the past, so we're happy to be bringing them here.
It's Rick Moore here on WNRN. Our guests today, Jody Kilbasa and Wes Harris from the upcoming Virginia Film Festival, a longtime friend of The Wake Up Call and WNRN, and movie aficionado Sean McCord here today handling the interview.
Support today for WNRN comes from
The Villa, Charlottesville's old school diner at Emmett and Ivy. The Villa serves a full American breakfast all day. You can find burgers and specialty sandwiches for lunch, plus weekday lunch specials and an Italian dinner menu every night. That's The Villa, 129 Emmett Street North, and villadiner.com.
Boonesboro Shopping Center, Lynchburg's shopping destination with shops like Loft, Francesca's, Joseph A. Bank, Chico's, and Talbot's, plus local boutiques and fine dining. It's Boonesboro Shopping Center for gifts and your grocery list. You can find Boonesboro Shopping Center on Facebook for weekly specials and events.
Hi, I'm Jesse Harper, inviting you to a celebratory night of music. On December 22nd, an all-star group of musicians will collaboratively perform visual and performance art with children of all abilities in Live Art, Tree of Life. This event will feature Jason Mraz, Katie Lang, Christina Perry, Renee Marie, Susan Greenbaum, myself, and many others. Live Art is more than just a concert event. For the past year, 120 students with a range of developmental disabilities, hearing and vision impairment, participate in performing arts classes alongside typically developing students. Each class will collectively perform their visual and performance art with the featured musicians in the Live Art Tree of Life concert at the Landmark Theater. For more information about our programs and tickets for the show, visit us at sparkonline.org. I'm Jesse Harper, making a community connection on WNRN.
Make your community connection with WNRN. Email connection at WNRN.org with your nonprofit event or organization's information. Independent Music Radio, WNRN.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Markets of Tiger Fuel. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And thank you for being with us today. Our guest, Wes Harris, he's the programmer and operations manager for the Virginia Film Festival. And Jody Kilbasa is also here. He's the director, Sean McCord, with us as well. And a quick special guest, Camelia. Camelia, you had a question for these guys, right?
What are the main highlights of Family Day?
That's my daughter, Camille Kilbasa, who's a guest with me here today. And, well, Camille, I can answer you that this year's Family Day has moved to the Betsy and John Casteen Arts Grounds at the University of Virginia. And for everybody out there, it's a day of free family programming. There's plenty of easy access parking in the Cobra Theater Garage, which is adjacent to the Arts Grounds, so it's less than a 50-yard walk for everybody out there. And one of the highlights is this year we will have over 670 young filmmakers who have participated in the Young Filmmakers Academy, which consists of both elementary and middle school students from Albemarle County who have written, directed, created, produced, and starred in short 90-second films that will be screened that day at Family Day. And we've had UVA mentors, students go in and work with these kids, and the films are remarkable and great fun. We're also screening the 60th anniversary of Disney's Peter Pan, a classic. It's free. It's going to be in the Culver Theater, so we have room for over 500 people. And we've had a tradition the last several years of screening Disney classics, and I can tell you it's very rare that you have the opportunity to see these great Disney classics on the big screen again. So please show up with your kids. We have interactive workshops. We're going to have the Charlottesville University Symphony Orchestra is going to have a petting zoo. We have an animation workshop that you can sign up for, an acting workshop, a stage combat workshop that we're working with drama and studio art and architecture and dance as well, that are all film oriented for the kids. We're also screening a wonderful movie called William and the Windmill, which is about a young Malawi boy in Africa who created a windmill for his village and was able to create power and pump water for his village there. He actually then went to the TED conference in Africa. He ended up writing, co-authoring a book, and they've now made a movie about him. And he's actually attending Dartmouth here in the United States. It's a very inspiring story, and again, a free screening.
You mentioned the Betsy and John Casteen Arts Center. So people who are walking out of the Arts Center might see this this building made of sticks.
That's right. And we're screening a film about that building this year. It is a sculpture that was created by 150 community members and 150 students, along with the renowned artist Patrick Daugherty. And it's a structure of sticks. They just got tons and tons of saplings here from several farms here in the Virginia countryside, and they wove together this elaborate structure that is absolutely stunning, and it's right outside the brand new Kaplan Theater on the Betsy and John Casteen Arts Grounds, and you'll have an opportunity to walk through that. You can go inside of it. It's a stunning sculpture, and we're screening a documentary during the festival as well about this.
Mm-hmm. Also screening at Colbert Theater Friday night at 8:30 is Charlie Countryman with a couple of familiar actors, Shia LaBeouf, Evan and Rachel Wood, and a Romanian director. Tell us about that film.
Yeah, I love this film. I think that this is one of the films that it will have a release soon, and I hope it gets to Charlottesville. But I think it's one of those great discoveries in the film festival. It's a quirky film. It's a thriller. Again, it's a kind of a fish out of water. A guy gets in over his head. Shia LaBeouf is wonderful in this film. Evan Rachel Wood's wonderful in the film. And it's one of those films that it is constantly unexpected. It's full of discovery.
Mm-hmm.
And so I highly recommend this film. And we're going to have the director, Frederick Bond, on hand, along with the producer, Ron Yerxa, who also produced Nebraska, to talk about this film afterwards. So I highly recommend it to our audience. I think you'll find it to be a real treat.
Well, okay, so I want to pull a plum out myself. That when my wife saw the schedule, this was the film that she was the most excited about. 17 years ago, when we had a like 3 or 4 month screaming infant, and she was up at like 2 o'clock in the morning with this child trying to get her to go back to sleep, she turned on the TV and she came in the middle of this film and she was laughing. She was just laughing. She told me this morning, she said, I had no idea what this film was. I don't know who this guy was. He had red hair and he was funny and he was doing all these crazy things. And she started describing the film to me and I went, oh, that was Danny Kaye, whom she had never heard of. And the film was The Court Jester. And she hasn't seen it since. So tell us about The Court Jester, why we were showing it, and why everybody needs to come see this film.
Well, this is a film that's on the National Film Registry.
Exactly.
It's the 100th anniversary of Danny Kaye's birth. And Danny Kaye, besides being one of the most remarkable actors you could ever imagine, and multi-talented performer who could sing and dance and act and was a tremendous comic as well, and a rubber face, a rubber body. He was also a great humanitarian and was cited for his humanitarian work during his career, which was remarkable. So this particular screening celebrates or marks the 100th anniversary of his birth, and The Court Jester is a classic.
Yes.
And it's wonderfully comic and fun, and it's great for an audience of all ages. And if you have an opportunity to see this film on the big screen, please take advantage of it.
Thursday at 6:30 p.m. at the Regal 2 downtown. Wes, there's another film with featuring a local group that caught my eye called Autopilots, which is about the Paul Perrone of Perrone Robotics. Mm-hmm. They entered. Well, you tell us about this.
Yeah. So they were sort of the underdog in this desert competition wherein primarily corporations enter in a driverless automobile, a robot sort of race, if you want to get tagline-y about it. They, based out of Charlottesville, the company put together a robot named Tommy, who sort of competed against all odds, as it were, in this sort of Mojave Desert race against these corporate machines. Tommy will be on hand and be receiving questions, not necessarily answering them, but he will be parked out on the downtown mall during our screening of Autopilots during the festival. So we actually were involved with the TomTom Founders Festival.
Right.
We screened a version of the film there earlier in the spring this year. So we're happy to bring it back and give it an even stronger spotlight as part of the film festival proper.
And speaking of the National Film Registry, Jody, you're screening the Seventh Voyage of Sinbad, which is the great Ray Harryhausen animating all these...
Who passed away this year, right. And legendary special effects. And as I remember seeing this film over and over again when I was a kid. Loved the Sinbad.
Yeah.
The special effects were fun and extraordinary at the time. And it's just a great opportunity to throw a spotlight on somebody who is so deserving of it.
And this is a perfect example of if you've seen it on TV... You ain't seen the film yet.
Exactly.
Not until you see it up on the big screen at Newcomb Hall Saturday at...
You know, one thing I wanted to talk about, if you have just a moment, Sean,
please.
And we haven't talked about this yet, is three special events that we do. And I want to make sure that everybody's aware that they're open to the public. And one of them actually is free. So the first one I wanted to highlight was our opening night gala, which is immediately following the screening and the discussion to follow of Nebraska. And it's in the Jefferson Theater, and it's a beautiful evening. It's catered by Harvest Moon. Libations, Big Ray and the Cool Cats are going to be playing.
Nice.
And it's done up in a classic Hollywood look, and it's a stunning evening. And of course, that one's a little pricier than some of them. It's a $75 ticket, but the proceeds go to support the Virginia Film Festival, so it becomes bigger and better every year. On Friday evening, in the Second Street Gallery, I'm proud to say that we just opened on First Fridays our digital media gallery, and it's going to be on exhibit for an entire month, the entire month of November.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a compilation of the renowned filmmaker Kevin Everson, who is a professor at UVA, and his students at UVA, along with Lighthouse, and their short experimental films that are in a digital display in the Second Street Gallery. It's open, it's free, but on Friday night we're going to have from 6 to 9 p.m. in the Digital Media Gallery at the Second Street Gallery a meet and greet the filmmakers. And it will include the filmmakers that worked on these experimental films, but all the filmmakers that are attending the Virginia Film Festival. So it's a great opportunity to come down. It's going to be catered, free food, great time to meet.
It is 11:44 here on the Wake Up Call. I'm Rick Moore. Our guests today, Wes Harris, Jody Kilbasa, Sean McCord, talking about the Virginia Film Festival. Sean, Wes, I know that we just got a caller with a question.
Question about the Indigenous Films sidebar.
Right, so we're partnering with the Kluge Roo Aboriginal Art Collection this year for a couple of screenings that we're very excited about. One is called Satellite Boy, and thanks to the Kluge Roo Art Collection, we're lucky to be able to welcome the director, Ketriana McKenzie, in for that screening. It's a really sweet and touching film set in the Western Australian outback, wherein sort of a grandfather and grandson coming of age, learning the skills of a sort of past generation and using them on his exploits to save his town's cinema. So that's it in a nutshell for Satellite Boy. The conversation about it is one of those opportunities that is very unique. Very few festivals are able to bring in a director like Ketriana from Australia into somewhere like Charlotte. So the Kluge Roo Aboriginal Art Collection is really one of a kind, and it's certainly the best example of that kind of focused Aboriginal sort of outreach really in the country. So we're really lucky to be partnering with them both on Satellite Boy and Uvanga, which focuses on a small community in northern Canada. We have Dr. Stephen Loring from the Smithsonian Arctic Studies Center coming in to lead a conversation around that film, which focuses on a woman returning to this Aboriginal community with her son, whom was the result of sort of a brief affair she had with one of the native residents there some years earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So we're very excited about both of these films and for our partnership with Kluge Roo.
You know, we have other interesting sidebars as well, which create a wonderful canvas that we can paint on for the film festival. Another one of those is a sidebar of Jewish-Israeli voices that takes a look at films by Jewish and Israeli filmmakers. And we partner with Congregation Beth Israel on this, but we have some beautiful films. Misa's Fugue is one of those about the story and power of music to lift the human spirit through the world. focusing on Frank Misa Grunwald, who was a boy in Europe, went through years of suffering as a result of being interred in a Nazi war camp. The Court Jester is part of that as well, because of the work that Danny Kaye did as a humanitarian, and Brave Miss World, which is directed by Cecilia Peck, the daughter of Gregory Peck, and we hope to bring Cecilia in this year because, of course, her father was honored 25 years ago at one of the, well, actually the second Virginia Film Festival. Cecilia couldn't join us, but Brave Miss World is an inspiring film that looks at the story of Israeli beauty queen Lenore Arbogil, who was a sexual assault victim. And many years later, she actually became Miss World. Many years later, she's come out with this, confronted this. It's been a healing process for her, and it looks at an extraordinarily difficult but important topic as well. And so, you know, we're thankful to Congregation Beth Israel, but also to be able to explore these types of films during the festival.
11:49 here on the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, talking about the Virginia Film Festival.
Our members are joined by the following underwriters in their support of WNRN.
Modlin Center for the Arts at the University of Richmond presenting World Blues, featuring the U.S.'s Taj Mahal Trio, South Africa's Vusi Malesela, and New Zealand's Fredericks Brown, featuring Deva Mahal. November 13th, 7:30 p.m. in the Carpenter Theater at Richmond Center Stage. Details are at modlin.richmond.edu or etix.com.
Price Hyundai on 29 North. From Hyundai, it's the new Veloster, 38 miles per gallon highway, standard BlueLink telematics with hands-free texting. The new Veloster, new thinking for the next generation of drivers. You can find out more at jimpricehyundai.com.
And whether you're an iPhone or an Android user, it's easy to get WNRN on your phone. For Android users, we recommend the TuneIn app, which is available at Google Play. WillowTree Apps has created the WNRN iPhone app, which you can find at the App Store or at WNRN.org. Just click on Listen to download the app. All right, back to our guests, Jody Kilbasa, Wes Harris, and Sean McCord.
Jody, you've mentioned several times this hour about the collaborations that you do with other institutions around town, around the state. This month also is another anniversary, a sad anniversary, the 50th anniversary of the assassination of President Kennedy. And you're doing an event with the UVA Center for Politics.
That's right. It's part of our ongoing partnership with the Center for Politics. And this year they have a new film out that they produced, a documentary called The Kennedy Half Century. And this looks not only at the assassination and the impact of Kennedy's presidency, but the impact of Kennedy's presidency moving forward, the impact that it had on the succeeding presidents all the way up to President Obama. Mm-hmm. And it's a fascinating documentary. There'll be a conversation afterwards moderated by Professor Larry Sabato. And we're continuing our presidency and film series with the Miller Center as well, with a screening of Our Nixon, which is a documentary that looks at special 8mm footage that was taken by H.R. Haldeman, John Ehrlichman, and Dwight Chapin, who oddly enough filmed themselves, taped themselves, which I find very funny. But it's actually a very revealing documentary. I think it's a fascinating documentary, and there'll be a discussion afterwards moderated by Governor Gerald Baliles. And we have other films as well. We're screening Parkland, which is about the Kennedy assassination, mm-hmm. so there's an opportunity to visit that. And other political documentaries, we have Caucus by the well-known documentarian A.J. Schnock, and we're working with Charlottesville Tomorrow on that, and it takes a look at the Republican candidates leading up to the 2012 election in Iowa, preceding the Iowa caucus, and essentially the decline of Michelle Bachmann and the meteoric rise of Rick Santorum during the Iowa caucuses. It's very fun. Other films that we're taking a look, Wes, why don't you talk a little bit about Political Bodies?
Yeah, so that's another example of a film with a local focus made by a team of filmmakers from outside the state. A New York-based filmmaking team came in to document the struggle over women's reproductive rights over the last year, year and a half, primarily in Richmond. We remember all of the blowback that happened when Ken Cuccinelli and others were presenting certain options, certain directions for things to go. So we're bringing in some of the subjects of the film, the director of the film. We're partnering with the Women, Gender, and Sexuality program from the University of Virginia to really look at what this recent history of our state means right now, what it will mean when we screen it, which will be just a few days after the election.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really a conversation at an unprecedented time. We'll find out, you know, the day after tomorrow exactly what that conversation will be, because it'll be hugely informed by what happens.
You know, one film we have that also may touch upon local politics is a film called Diller, Scofidio, and Renfro, Reimagining the Kennedy Center and the High Line, which is about what it says, reimagining the Lincoln Center and the High Line. But, again, that's sponsored by Charlottesville tomorrow, and Brian Wheeler is going to be hosting a panel of architects from UVA, and I'm quite certain that they'll touch upon the Belmont Bridge in that discussion,
right,
as well, and the impact that that could have in the future on our own city here in Charlottesville.
Well, I think one of the threads that we sort of picked here is that film can be very trenchant, very contemporary, can touch on events that are in the news now or still in our minds. One film I'm thinking of is called Boston Bound, mm-hmm, which is about a group of marathoners from Charlottesville who go up to run the Boston Marathon at a very interesting time.
It's a very personal collection of these individual runners' stories of what it meant for them to be part of one of the more unfortunate sporting events we've ever had happen. And coming back to Charlottesville after the most recent Boston Marathon and trying to figure out exactly what it meant, both, mm-hmm, for them, for the sport, for the city, for the community. And so we'll have Anwar Allen, the director of the film, as well as coach Mark Lorenzoni on hand for a conversation.
Yeah. Jody, as Vice Provost for the Arts, it's your job to look at sort of all the arts that are going on around Charlottesville. You mentioned the documentary on Patrick Doherty, the man who made the stick sculpture. We're also doing a documentary called The Creative Proposition about Bill T. Jones, who was here in 2008.
That's right. This focuses on his residency while he was here in Charlottesville at UVA and a choreographed dance that, mm-hmm, that he pulled together while I was here called 100 Migrations. And it's a remarkable documentary. It's free. We're offering this free to the public because so many community members are actually in this film performing in this piece. And so, you know, we hope the word gets out about this because it'll be an opportunity to see themselves in this documentary. And it was such a unique collaboration between UVA and the community of Charlottesville and this legendary choreographer, Bill T. Jones, who, of course, is a Kennedy Center Award recipient, honored for that, a Tony Award a winning director, choreographer, and just a fascinating artist.
That's free at 11 a.m. Sunday at Newcomb Hall Theater. We're going to be wrapping up in just a few minutes. Wes, I'm going to throw the same question to both of, mm-hmm, you. Is there one obvious film that you want to talk about that we haven't, film or event or just something for people to come see that we haven't talked about yet?
I think I'll just maybe briefly mention our closing night film, which is Blue Ruin, and that'll be screening Sunday evening at 7:30 in the Cobra Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one that I want to point out because we are dedicating that screening to a friend and colleague of ours, my friend Catherine Stevens, who worked at the Virginia Film Office in Richmond for a number of years, passed away several months ago from cancer. She was one of the most important champions of independent filmmaking in this state. The effects of her work are still being felt. She introduced me to this film, which was made by a Virginia native, Jeremy Saulnier. We'll have the star there. It'll be a dark affair, but it'll be closing it outright for our friend Catherine.
And Jody, a film or event?
And I think I would talk about Child of God, which is Saturday afternoon at 3 p.m. at the Paramount Theater, a James Franco-directed film based on Cormac McCarthy's 1973 novel. And we have Scott Hayes, who was just recently highlighted as one of Variety's top 10 actors to watch. this year, and Scott Hayes went to the Miller School here in Charlottesville, actually out in Crozet. So it's a homecoming of sorts for him as well. So for everybody who knew Scott Hayes years ago, it's an opportunity to see Scott. He's going to be on hand to talk about the film.
Just a minute left with our guests today, Jody Kilbasa, Wes Harris, Sean McCord. Sean, you do a fair number of interviews of individual guests and folks working with the Virginia Film Festival, correct?
Mm-hmm.
You did last year. What's on hand? What do you have planned for this year so that people, while they're attending the films or the events, but that maybe want a little more detailed personal conversation that they can't get except through your podcast?
Well, we'll be on hand at the at the festival interviewing filmmakers, and the idea is to do short interviews with them, throw them up on the film festival website, so you can say, hey, you know, there's a film screening at 7 o'clock tonight. Wonder what that's about. You can go to the film festival website and hear an interview with a filmmaker made that afternoon talking about the film. And so you can go to the Film Festival website, you can follow the Twitter feed, and look for the hashtag, VA Film 2013. Jody, I have one last question for you. Film Festival is also renowned for its parties. You mentioned the opening night party.
I did, and we talked about the meet and greet of filmmakers from 6 to 9 at the Digital Media Gallery. Our late night wrap party, mm-hmm. which starts Saturday night at 10 p.m., is at the Main Street Arena. It's only a $35 ticket. There's going to be dancing. It's fun. But more than anything, it's an opportunity for everybody to talk about the films that they've seen and to engage with the filmmakers in the industry, most of whom are on hand at this party on Saturday night. And everybody's invited to attend.
All right, guys. Thanks so much. I appreciate it. Our guest today, Wes Harris, Jody Kilbasa from the Virginia Film Festival website.
VirginiaFilmFestival.org. You can get your tickets online now or down at the Main Street Arena. We're open this afternoon selling tickets at our festival headquarters.
And Sean McCord, thank you so much. Movie aficionado back in to do a much better interview than I could. And special guest, Camille Kilbasa, with a great question about Family Day. Next week, next Sunday, we'll be having Jeff Skelly and Sid Milkus in to talk about post-election politics. Everyone have a great afternoon.
Thanks, Rick.
This has been your Sunday Morning Wake Up Call on WNRN. The Wake Up Call is supported by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at wakeupcall@wnrn.org. The Wake Up Call is produced by Brandon Wong. Tune in next Sunday morning at 11 for The Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.